Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Good evening again, everyone. We are continuing on in the book of Isaiah. We're in Isaiah 53. And we continue to speak on the topic of the suffering servant. We thank God that Jesus Christ is our Lord, and he saw it fit to come to earth and to suffer and die for us. So as we go into this lesson, we pray that we will glean more from the word of God about what Jesus has gone through for us. So Isaiah 53 verse 1, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The prophet asks the question, who is it that believed the report of the Messiah? And Romans 10:16-17, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Psalm 119:173 said, let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. Jesus is the arm of the Lord, and he has to be revealed to us. The Holy Spirit comes to reveal Jesus to us. And the Holy Spirit is here, willing and ready to reveal Jesus. But we have to be willing to seek. He said, if we seek him with our whole heart, we will find him. And in John chapter 15, verse 26, the Bible says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. So the Holy Spirit has come to testify of Jesus and to reveal Jesus Christ, the suffering servant, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He has come to reveal him to us. Verse 2 of Isaiah 53 said, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Jesus grew up as a tender or a delicate plant. He came to earth. He came from heaven to earth. Earth's condition was not favorable for Jesus. Earth's condition was, this is fallen earth. This was not a favorable condition for him. But he, because of his love for us, decided to come and to sacrifice his life for us, to give up himself for us so that we can be saved. So Jesus grew up as a tender plant right here in the earth realm. He shoots up out of unfavorable condition on this fallen earth. He did not come arrayed like a king. He was not so physically attractive that the people should desire him. Revelation 22:16 said, Jesus, the root and the offspring of David. So he is the root. David came from him. He is the root of David, and he's also the offspring, because when he came to earth, he came from through the lineage of David. So David came from him. Humanity comes from the Creator. But also when he came to redeem us, when he came as a suffering servant, he came through the lineage of David. So we see here our suffering Savior and our King grew up on this earth in such unfavorable condition, but he suffered all of what he has to go through here on earth. The Bible said he's our great high priest, who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, because he has gone through all of what we go through here on earth. Yet he couldn't sin because he is God. He is the perfect God-man. So we have to understand that Jesus did all of this for us. And we see here in Luke chapter 1, verse 31 through 32, Luke 1, verse 31 through 32, the Bible said, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." So he is the Son of the Highest, but he is also, he will be given the throne of his father David. So they call David his father because he came through the lineage of David. Philippians 2, verse 5 through 7. Philippians 2, verse 5 through 7 tells us, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." So we see here, we have to have the same mind like Christ. The same mind to serve. The same mind to suffer. Who being in the form of God did not think that laying down his divine privilege, he did not think that he was robbing himself when he laid down his divine privileges, but made himself of no reputation. The Bible said when they see him, there is no beauty that they should desire him. So he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. He did not take upon him the form of a king. He did not come arrayed in fine linen and arrayed like a king, but he came as a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So he was made in the likeness of men so that he could be that substitute for us. He could die that substitutionary death so that you and I today can have life and have it more abundantly. Verse 3 of Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 3 said, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." He is despised and rejected, and we see how much he was despised, how much he was rejected by men, even as we read in Matthew 27, 29 through 31. He was so despised and rejected. He was spat upon. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was jeered. They put a crown of thorn on his head, and they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Many hid their faces from him, but he is a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. He was despised, Isaiah said, and we esteemed him not. We did not give him the respect that was due to him. So Isaiah was writing to his own people, to the Jewish people who did not esteem him. He came as the anointed one, the Messiah, but their eyes were blinded to who he was, and they did not give him the respect and the honor that was due to his great name. Verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 53 said, "Surely he has borne our grief." So it's of a surety that he is the one who has borne our grief. And that grief there means our sickness, our weakness, our sins, our sorrow. He has carried our sorrows. "Yet we did esteem him stricken." And this word here is really an ironical statement made by Isaiah. He said, "Yet we did esteem him stricken." This was an ironical statement by the prophet. He was not esteemed, but was mocked and was jeered. So when he was stricken, he was mocked and was jeered. They say, "Hail, King of the Jews," in Isaiah 27:29. "Hail, King of the Jews," when they plaited that crown of thorn and put on his head. They said, "Hail, King of the Jews," mocking and jeering him. But he is surely our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. So we want to give him the glory. We want to give him the praise. We want to give him the honor. For 2 Corinthians 5:21 said, "For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin." Christ knew no sin. He's a sinless, spotless Lamb of God. But he was made to be sin for us. He bore our sins. He bore our grief. He bore our weaknesses. He bore our pain. He bore our sicknesses. He bore everything that was against mankind. He bore it on the cross. So he was made sin for us. He became that sin bearer who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So his righteousness is now imputed to those who have put their trust in him. For the word of God said, as many as receive him, as many as those who come to accept him as Lord and Savior, to them gave he the right, the power to become children of God. So we want to put our trust in the risen Savior and know that he has already paid the price for us. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we have to accept that gift from him. We have to come to him and say, "Lord, I know I am a sinner, and I know that you are the Savior of the world. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior." And he will come in, and he will change your life. The Lord is calling us to put our trust in Jesus. So many other things that we put our trust in at times and they fail. Everything in this world will fail, but Jesus never fails. So we want to put our trust in him. Verse 5 of Isaiah 53 said, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." He was wounded for our transgression. He took that punishment for us. He took our place for the sin that we have committed. The spotless, sinless Lamb of God suffered for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The Bible tells us in Genesis 3:15 that the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head and he shall bruise his heel. So he was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that he suffered brought us peace. And that peace there means shalom. The punishment that Christ suffered brought us shalom. That means wholeness, reconciliation to Abba Father. Now we have been reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we have now come back in fellowship with God the Father through Christ Jesus and what he has done at the cross for us. We can now run to Abba and cry, "Abba Father," because of the sacrifice that Jesus has made for us on the cross. When we turn to Colossians 1, verse 20 through 22, it says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled," verse 22, "in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." So we see where Jesus Christ has made peace through the blood of his cross. He has now reconciled us to Abba Father. Now we can be in fellowship with Abba again. We know that, as the Bible said in Genesis 3, that Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the Garden of Eden, the fellowship with God was broken. But Christ, the second Adam, came, and he now has reconciled us to God by his death and his resurrection. So we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible said the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. So he suffered that punishment so we can now be reconciled to Abba Father. We who sometimes were so alienated and enemies, we were enemies of God. We were dead in our sins and in our trespasses, doing the things that our minds tell us to do. Our carnal mind will tell us to do things that were contrary to the will of God. And we didn't feel any way because we were so estranged from him. But now through the blood of Jesus Christ, as we say yes to Jesus and accept him as Lord and Savior, through his blood now we can now run to Abba and cry, Abba Father. We can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need because we have accepted Jesus Christ the Son. The word of God tells us that if we acknowledge the Son, we acknowledge the Father. So we can't say we love the Father and don't love the Son. We have to acknowledge what Christ has done at the cross and say, yes, Jesus, we put our trust in you because you are truly the Son of God who came and died and rose again and lived forevermore. And the Bible tells us that he ever lived to make intercession for us. So he is the one that suffered the punishment for us that we now can have peace. We can now be reconciled to Abba Father and have wholeness in our life, wholeness in our bodies, wholeness emotionally, wholeness spiritually. The Lord has called us and he has brought us to wholeness, and we want to live in that wholeness that he has given us. The Bible said, and with his stripes we are healed. With every stripe that he suffered, every lashing, every wound that he suffered, there is a healing for God's people. Healing has come to humanity by every wound that Jesus suffered. Jesus Christ, the suffering servant, came and died for us. He rose again and he has given us life, abundant life, eternal life, because only in him can we have life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. So we want to acknowledge Jesus for who he is, and we want to give him the glory and the honor and the praise. But for with his stripes we are healed. Psalm 103 verse 2 and 3 said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Let us not forget the benefits of salvation. The Bible said in verse 3 of Psalm 103, verse 2, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. So Christ forgives all our iniquities and he heals all our diseases. The word of God says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions. So we want to trust in Jesus. We want to put our faith in him. We want to have active faith. We don't want to just speak Jesus, but we want to live the life that shows that we are joint heirs with him. We want to suffer with him, to reign with him. The Bible says if we suffer with him, we will reign with him. We want to serve like he served, with love, with compassion, sacrificially. We want to be like our suffering servant, Jesus Christ, the righteous King. We bless the name of Jesus for all that he's doing in our lives. He's calling us to that close walk with him. He's calling us back to that place of living the sacrificial life, emulating him and showing him to the world. Verse 6 of Isaiah 53 said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All we like sheep have gone astray. We tend to turn to our old ways. But the word of God said the Lord has laid on him, the Lord has placed on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. All of humanity had turned their backs on God. We have walked away from him and have been doing our own thing. And when we turn to Ephesians 2, we'll turn to Ephesians 2 and verses 1 through 6. Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 6. And it says, "And you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." But look at verse 4. He said, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Amen. So the Lord has raised us up with Christ. Those who have put their trust in him, he has raised us up, and positionally we are sitting with Christ in heavenly places. He has clothed us in his righteousness. His righteousness has been imputed unto us. And we know, as children of God, we have the privilege to run to Abba Father and cry Abba because of what he has done for us. God, who is rich, he is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he has loved us. The Bible said he demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord laid on Christ our iniquities. He is that good shepherd who laid down his life for us. John 10:11 said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." He became our sin bearer. Can we stop for a moment and just think on this? He became our sin bearer. We were condemned to die. But because of his great love towards us, and that love was demonstrated on the cross, he died to set us free. And because he died, he rose again, and he sit at the place of authority. The word said he sit at the right hand of the Father, ever live to make intercession for us. We don't want to take it lightly what Christ has done for us. We want to walk on that straight and narrow path that he has paved for us. We don't want to be like the sheep who continually go astray. We want to walk in righteousness. For his word is that lamp to our feet and that light to our path. His words help us to walk in the straight and narrow so that we don't stray from him. We want to return to God's word. We want to start to eat of God's word. Let that word be sweet to our lips, sweet to our taste. Let that word go inside of us to reform and reshape us, to make us more like Jesus, our suffering servant. He became our sin bearer. He bore the sin for us that we wouldn't be able. We were condemned to die, but he came and he died for us so that we might live. We should give him the glory. We should give him the praise. We should give him the honor. Every day of our life should be a lifestyle of praise and worship to our King of Kings and Lord of Lords for what he has done for us at the cross. It was at the cross where we first saw the light and the burden of our hearts were rolled away. It was at the cross that he died and he said, "It is finished." And when he said it is finished, it means man's redemption is paid for. It's paid in full. It is paid for. So we now can live the abundant life, a fulfilled life right here on earth, and know that we have eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us take this privilege that we have right now and give our lives to Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Mend me. Make me into who you want me to be. He is our suffering servant. The King of Kings laid down his divine privileges, came to earth, took on humanity, and died for us. The spotless, sinless Lamb of God died to set us free. Let us walk in the freedom that he has given us. Let us walk by faith and not by sight. His word reminds us that the just shall live by faith. And if we are justified by his blood, then we are to live placing our faith in the finished work at the cross, knowing that when he said it is finished, everything that was pertaining to humanity and the debt that we had owed to God, everything has been paid for. So we give God thanks and praise for the provision that he has made for us. He has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Verse 7 of Isaiah chapter 53. It says, he was oppressed. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. So he was oppressed and he was afflicted. He was brought to the judgment hall, and the Bible said that he opened not his mouth. Let us see what Luke said here in Luke 23, verse 7 to 9. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracles done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. So he was oppressed. He was brought and as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, he opened not his mouth. So when he came to the judgment hall, he opened not his mouth to all his accusers. Bless the Lord.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.